Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. It's Shamika Tia. Today is Monday, September 25th, 2017, and today's show is titled The Wrath. So what we're going to do today is really study the scriptures and see what's going on. Since we are experiencing some things here on earth and a few people may be really uncomfortable because they don't understand what's going on. So hopefully by the end of the show today, I don't have a lot of time. I have some time, but hopefully by the end of the show today, you'll have a better understanding or at least know where to go to get more understanding. Before I begin, I'm Shamika Tia. I'm 41 years old. I live in Georgia. I'm not a pastor. I'm not a teacher. I'm studying and growing in the Word. And I have invited you to take the journey with me. And thank you for taking a journey with me. A lot of people are. As I said before, today's show is titled The Wrath. And I invite you to get out your own Bibles. I'll be reading from the King James Version, which is the most accurate to the original text. And before I begin, I like to read the seven rules regarding prophecy, especially during this show. And just so you know, we're joining Facebook Live. I'm also on the phone for Blog Talk Radio. That guest dial-in number is 563-999-3682. If you'd like to join in, you can press #1. Let me just make sure this volume is up a little bit. If you'd like to join in, you can just press #1, and I can unmute your mic. If you have some things to share, ask a question, add to what I'm saying. I wouldn't suggest taking away from what I'm saying. All right? Or you can join via internet. I also have that up too. As a matter of fact, I'm going to open it up right now. It's the chat box for those that like to join via web. Okay, so everything is going. And before we get into the show, I like to read the seven rules regarding prophecy. This is seven rules regarding prophecy. The first rule is to understand prophecy as history written beforehand. The second rule is to give the same meaning to words of prophecy as you do the words of history. The third rule, do not seek for hidden meanings when reading the scriptures. The fourth rule, do not think prophecy must be fulfilled before it can be understood. The fifth rule, do not interpret God's own interpretation of anything in prophecy. The sixth rule, take all prophecy literally unless it is clear that it cannot have a literal meaning, and then get the literal truth conveyed by the figurative language. And the last rule, number seven, let the Bible be its own interpreter. Okay? And it's very hard to rear off the road called straight if you keep those seven rules at the forefront when you're reading your Bible, watching any kind of spiritual videos or whatever it is you do to study. Oh, this chat box always gives me a little bit of problem. Okay. Well, here we go. Okay. With the world in the state it's in, I have been kind of juggling back and forth with a few different topics, and this is the one that just kept sticking out. It's almost like I couldn't concentrate on anything else, but the wrath just kept sticking out. So, and I'm not one that watches the news. So then when I turn on the news and everything is just kind of piecing together and the things that I thought we were waiting for had happened already and the things that the scripture says is happening is rapidly happening right before our eyes, I see why I couldn't concentrate on any other topics other than this one. So this one was able to take priority over the rest of the stuff. We'll get to the rest of the stuff, but we'll just, you know, get into the wrath first. So the definition of wrath is extreme anger, rage, vexation, fury, outrage, displeasure, vengeance, punishment. I took it to the Strong Concordance. The definition in the Strong Concordance was very similar. Anger, passion, opposition. Okay? What wrath is not is a sudden outburst is not a sudden outburst, but rather it's fixed, controlled, passionate feeling against something. It's a settled anger. It's based on an extended personal exposure, solidifying what the beholder considers wrong or unjust, to swell, temper, and agitation of the soul is what wrath is all about. So a lot of us deal, when we think we're dealing with wrath, we just think of immediate anger that we go through. Oh, somebody made us upset. Ah, you're going to feel my wrath. And we throw that word around so loosely now. Oh, you're going to feel my wrath over something that makes us angry. And it is slightly different. Wrath is a buildup and an accumulation of wrongful doing. Okay? So please keep that in mind and be aware, because we have a very patient God. So it's important that you understand what wrath is first before we get into the scriptures. I first want to go, and wrath is all throughout the Bible, but I want to go to John chapter 3. And we have to speed this up. Like I said, I don't have time tonight to do the full 2 hours. So we'll just get as much done and covered as we can without rushing through it too much. So John chapter 3. And y'all know I don't like jumping around and separating certain scriptures, so I'm going to read the whole chapter of John chapter 3. It says, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Verse 13, and no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lift up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Pay attention to the whole chapter, but that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then this is the famous scripture, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than light, because of their deeds were evil. Verse 20. But everyone that doeth evil hateth light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. After these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there he tarried with them and baptized. Verse 23, and John also was baptizing in Aenon near Salem, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. for John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came to John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourself bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. Verse 30, He must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Verse 32, And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received it hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son, listen, hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So that's the language I want to highlight on, is that last verse. And again, I don't like picking out verses and without, you know, I like to read into it so you get better understanding. So let's read 36 again, slowly. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So let's study that a little bit, that last part. The first part of it is believeth not. So when you study believeth not, that means to reject, to denounce, to deny, confuse, pollute the word, name of God, the Son, denouncing the Holy Spirit is another scale as well of all that would fall under believing not. So pay attention to that, right? The second thing that I want to highlight on is the last part after he said, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life. Now, that struck me as odd when I first read it because I'm thinking, well, we have a lot of non-believers in the earth now that is still living. What do you mean? So see life means to see the future, not so much the act or seeing with the eyes, but to comprehend truly. When you study it, it's a total different meaning. Okay? I want you to pay attention to that. And then the last part, after he says that person shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Okay? Abideth on him. So now let's study that a little bit. The wrath of God abideth on you. So when I dug deep, abide definition means to accept or act in accordance with the rule, decision, recommendation, to obey, to observe, to follow, to hold to, conform to, adhere to, stick to, stand by, act in accordance, respect, tolerate, bear, stand, put up with, endure, and take countenance. Okay? All fall under the verb of abiding. Okay? I went to the strong concordance with it. It means to remain, to stay, to wait, to continue, lasting, lives, living, to place, sojourn, tarry. All fall under the lines of abide. So keep that in mind. So what is he really saying? Let's read that last part. Let's read the last part again. Again, we're in John chapter 3, verse 36 says, He he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You see how now when you know what those definitions mean and you really study the scriptures line upon line, precept upon precept, you really get to understand why it's so hard trying to minister to someone that's really, you know, don't want any part of scriptures or don't want any part of the belief system or spirituality on the right side, why it's so hard to reach them. They have the wrath of God abiding on them, okay? Very important. It almost should free you if you've ever tried to minister to someone and they totally reject it before the words can even get out of your mouth. It kind of makes you understand why, okay? And that should free you. And you don't feel like, you know, you lost a soul or you missed the opportunity to reach a soul. They just have the wrath abiding on them. And that's those people. Remember, we're dissecting the wrath of God is what we're doing. Go really quick. Let's see how we're doing with time. I don't have a lot of time, and I do apologize. If you are on the phones, oh, my computer is bugging out. If you are on the phone and if you have a question or comment with what I said so far, press #1 and I can unmute your mic and answer your phone. You can join in via whatever it is. Post your question of what I said thus far. Let's keep going, though. Romans chapter 1, and I'm going to read this in detail. Let's read this in detail. We're going to the scriptures with it. Nothing that I say on this show would be an opinion. We're going straight to the scriptures with it. Okay? Romans chapter 1, let's start right in verse 1. It's important to read the beginning of the chapter so you can have a full understanding of what's going on when you're studying the scriptures. Romans chapter 1, verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, when he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning the Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Among whom are ye also called of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from our God. And peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Verse 11 says, for I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith of both you and me. Now, would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarian, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel. You see how my computer is just bugging out? I have boxes just popping up for no reason at all. Anyway, where was I? 15. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now is the not so good news. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Now let me read that one more time, starting with verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own heart, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up to vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one towards another, men with men, working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was met. Verse 28, this is saying my storage is full. Sorry, verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgeth, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. But I that judgest doeth the same things. I had already went into chapter 2, so now we're up to verse 2 in Romans chapter 2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgeth them which do such things and doeth the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, and knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteousness, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. Let me read that last, let me read verse 5 again. Again, this is Romans chapter 2, verse 5. But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasureth up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deed. Verse 7. To them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also of the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. For as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law. And as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles which have not the law do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves. Verse 15, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another, in a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approveth the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou, therefore, which teacheth another, teachest not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, doest thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, doest thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorreth idols, doest not commit sacrilege? Verse 23, thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? That's a question mark at the end of that. For the name of God is blaspheming among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. For circumcision barely profits if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfilled the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doeth transgress the law? For he is not law. Excuse me. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter. Praise is not of men, but of God. Okay? Now we're going to get to, you know, pay attention. What advantage then have the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed of oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Yea, let God be true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commend the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who taketh vengeance? I speak as a man, and that's in paren. Verse 6, God forbid, for then how shall God judge the world? For if the truth of God hath more abounded through my life unto his glory, why yet am I also judged as a sinner? And not rather, as we be slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say, let us do evil, that good may come, whose damnation is just. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved both Jews and Gentiles that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Verse 13. Their throat is an open sepulchre. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways. And the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know what things soever the law saith. It saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may be guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifest, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath sent forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid, yea, we establish the law. Okay, so I wanted to clear that up in very, very, very good detail who we're talking about. That's us. No matter what us you fall under, whether Jew or Gentile, I came back early. Oh, no. I thought I had a little more time. Well, no matter which us you fall along, that's us, okay? And then I want to read something really quick in Ephesians chapter 5. Really, really, really quick. And I'll check. Okay, good. And again, I like to start from the beginning, Ephesians chapter 5, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us for offering and for a sweet smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you, as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God. The wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye are light of the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doeth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. I might as well just keep going on to just finish off the chapter, but that's the part I wanted to, you know, because if you're thinking these days, okay, what do we do again? I forgot. Or maybe you're a new believer or a believer that needs to repent and hit the reset button. That's me. That's it. Okay. So let's keep going. Verse 21 says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband that is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. See that in verse 26? I didn't want to miss that either. Verse 26 says again, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. That's the Bible. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. Verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. This is the great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And then it goes, you know, read six. Well, actually, I should just read it. How much time? Got about 15 minutes. I'm sorry. I might as well just keep going. Because what I'm doing is setting a foundation so when I get to the real hard language in Revelation, you'll understand what the root of that was. You'll understand what our expectations is as remnant. That's what we are. You'll understand everything that's happening. You'll be able to look at the news and then go to the scriptures like a current. This is like a current event newspaper right now. We're going to go into Daniel. You'll be able to place everything. So, that's why, you know me, every time I take on a subject, I like to take it, oh my goodness, this keeps saying my storage is full. I like to take things from the root and then dissect it from that root perspective. And especially, it's hard when you're trying to get into scriptures, and especially if you've never been into it before. It's really hard to just kind of jump on board if you don't know the root. You won't even understand why you're following or why you're believing or why that's important, who Jesus is. Why do you even need Jesus? Like, you wouldn't understand the stuff if you don't get it from the root. And you can get it from the root. You just have to know where to go. So I wanted to dissect wrath from the root. So when we get into the hard language, it's not, some people can paint God out to be a real terrible, evil God if they just attack it from the end part. But if you explain it and dissect it and study it from the root, middle, and end, you'll understand who our God is. So it'll just bring better understanding of who our God is. Okay, so let's keep on going. Since we're almost out of time, I might as well just finish up Ephesians. I was going to come back there. But Ephesians chapter 6 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition, of the Lord. Verse 5, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your masters also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verse 21, but that ye also may know my affairs and how I do. Tychicus, a beloved brethren and faithful minister in the Lord, shall make known unto you all things which I have sent unto you from the same purpose, that ye might know our affairs and that he might comfort your hearts. Peace be to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with you all, them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen. Okay, so knowing that part first, we can get into let me write this down that I finish. Knowing that part first, and I gotta end soon. Okay, knowing that part first, maybe we got a couple minutes to go to Colossians. Let's go there really quick. Colossians chapter 3. We can do that really quick. Colossians chapter 3. Remember, I don't want to give it. When you're dealing with anything that you're going to speak about of God, you want to make sure you're not giving your opinion. So that's why we're doing a lot of reading on this show, so we can see what the scriptures have to say about the wrath of God and the wrath to come, and we can understand what's happening according to the scriptures. So Colossians chapter 3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in good, excuse me, in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, and that is, that word, that just means strong sexual desires. Verse 6, for which things sake the wrath, okay, verse 6, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience, in the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. But now ye also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. I didn't want you to miss verse 6. So it's saying that stuff right above in verse 5, for that sake is why the wrath of God is coming. So let's understand the root of the wrath. Now verse 9, lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on a new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfection, of perfectness. See that? Verse 14 again. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let me read that again. And verse 17, and whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And then it goes back into the wives, submitting yourselves to your own husbands as it's fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives. Be not bitter against them. It goes back into children obeying your parents. It goes back to father not provoking your kids, servants obeying their masters. Whatsoever ye do in heartily to the Lord, do it unto men, knowing that the Lord, verse 24, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. But he that doeth wrong shall receive the wrong, shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So, oh, what time is it? All right. You can read the last part on your own. So I'm just saying, this pluck away everything. If you're like me and you're reading that list and you fall along the lines of some of the things on the list, we have to pluck that away and start chipping that stuff away immediately, as you can see. And then And that's why I just got right to it. It tells you the list, and it tells you what to do about it right in the same few chapters. So it's nothing to try to figure out. It's nothing to interpret on your own. It's just already interpreted for us what's going on and what's going to happen if it continues to go on. So I'm sorry. Like I said, I had a really, really busy day today, and I'm going to have an even more busy night. I got things to do, so I don't have time to do the full show. I just wanted to set that route up, and I don't know if I'll wait till Monday again to do the part two, but if not, I'll probably try to get in all week. It's a busy week for me, but I'll try to get in as much parts as possible, and up until, you know, I want to do the root, the middle, the end. So tune in, please tune in and study those things. It's not hard. It's not hard. It's what you call reality check season. It's reality check season. The pretense season is up. The lukewarm season is up. It's never really been a season for that, but we have been kind of coasting and acting like we're exempt, depending on your nature and who you are. And as we are reading here, there's no respect of persons with this wrath of God. We just got to get it correct. And the word that was used was with perfectness and newness and renewed mind and renewed this. So it was really, even studying for it, I guess probably that's why God wanted me to prioritize this subject, because I have been going back and forth with a few subjects, because I, too, am falling along some of the stuff on the list. So it was a really a reminder to me, oh, my goodness, you keep saying the storage is full. I don't even know how to free up some of the storage. But anyway, so studying for the show, and that's what God does. He don't just tell you to do a show. It's so you can learn, and then you can teach or explain as you learn or learn together. So I was kind of glad for the reminder, because things is happening, things is coming. We're not having these earthquakes by accident. We're not having these hurricanes by accident. Nothing is going on by accident. The wars and the rumors of wars, like all of this stuff, this is a current events Bible at the moment. It always has been in any era. That's why every generation says, oh, that happened in my generation, because it is a current book no matter what generation you're in. But one thing about the generation we're in, there's no mistaking that this is definitely the end, and the end is coming to a close, because we have more exact and definiteness that's going on now that has never happened before. So it's no mistake in this era and what kind of season we're in, what's happening, what's going to continue happening, and more coming down the pipes. I mean, it's just no mistaking about it. This world is coming to a close. I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist to see that, nor do you have to be super spiritual to see that. I mean, if you watch the news all day, or you study science, I mean, even scientists are saying this Earth. Why do you think they're moving to Mars, trying to move to Mars? Because Earth is about to be done. All right. So anyway, and before I close out of the show, I got about 4 minutes. I'm going to flag. I'll pick up right where I left off next show. But if you don't know, and you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, because you never felt that you needed to, and you thought, as you probably were taught, that you are a God, because you read only the part that said we were made in God's image, and you did not know that the only two people that was ever in God's image was Adam. And in Genesis chapter 5, it says we are now in Adam's image, so you never thought you needed to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you can now see that you do, like you feel something going through your body or something just kind of tugging at you every time you hear truth. It's very easy to do. It's just a simple prophetic public statement that you need to make, and you just say, Father in heaven, I believe that you are God and that Jesus is your son. I believe that Jesus died for my sins and that after 3 days he arose from the dead. Today I make a quality choice to turn from my past ways. And I invite you to come into my heart to be Savior and Lord of my life. Make something new of me. Create in me a hunger for your word. I want to fully understand my responsibility and authority as your child. Thank you for salvation and for the promise of abundant life, spiritually, physically, economically, and socially. Father, I purpose to give your name the praise, the honor, and glory with my words and with my life. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. So it's just as simple as that. It's just as simple as that. And then you can get into the critiquing and plucking out all the stuff that we need to get rid of immediately and start kind of chipping that stuff away this week. Like I said, studying for the show was like a real, okay, I got to stop doing this. I got to stop doing that. I got to stop. So it's not to convict you so you can feel bad and don't feel adequate. It's so you can correct it. Let's not forget the purpose of this is for correction. Okay, he's God. He loves us. And he chastens those he loves. You know, we have children that we discipline because we love them. And if we didn't discipline them, they would get worse and worse and worse. So, okay. Anyway, I have to go. I'm sorry. I work and live at the same place. So sometimes I get a little window and sometimes I don't today. Just was not that day. But again, like I said, I'll try to do part two, part three before Monday so it doesn't take so long for us to get to the end. That way, as we read, I mean, you don't even need to watch the news. You're probably going to be on antidepressants if you continue to watch this. There's a lot of stuff you're going to be hearing about going on. And if you don't understand it, you may need to just turn that off. Remember, he tells us to guard our eyes and our ears and our mind and our heart so that we don't be a little worked up more than we should. However, he's telling us what to do. This is not a fear type of a show. This is, okay, what do we do? What do we do? Now that this is happening, oh, my goodness, I know now. I didn't know it before. Wow, it's happening. What do we do? What do we do? That's what we're trying to establish. Okay, it's happening now. What do we do? What do we do is what I'm saying. Okay? So I got the stuff. I know exactly where to pick up next show. Okay? All right, everyone. Thank you so much for joining. It's 8:30. I got to run, but I don't think there's any questions or comments. Yeah, I'll scroll back down. Thanks for joining. Thanks for joining. Hey, Roosevelt. That's my cousin. He said, what up, cuz? Hey, Rosie. Thanks for joining. Thanks for joining. Octavia Duhaney says, blessed love. Thank you. Blessed to you as well, Octavia. Octavia Duhaney says, from Jamaica, reggaeton or reggae. Thank you so much, Octavia. Thank you so much, everyone. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Octavia says, please, when you get time, explain who is the man spoke of in Psalm 87. Okay, I will make a note. Psalm 87. Thanks for that. I will do it off Octavia Duhaney. And I'll tag you when I answer it. Okay? Thank you so much for your question. I love questions, by the way. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, everyone, for joining. Thank you. Thank you, 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 thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Someone named Cambria Garner says yes. Thank you for joining. Cambria again says right, right. Thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, the storage thing keeps popping up. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Sister Pamela says, hey, sister. Hey, Sister Pam, how are you? Thanks so much for joining. Okay, and I'm sorry, Sister Pam, I couldn't do a two-hour show today. Really, really, really busy day. Really, really busy day. It was like nonstop for me. So I do apologize. I was even surprised to have been able to do this bit. So thank you so much for joining, and I apologize, but I will. Octavia, I'll get back to you with the Psalm 87 question. And everyone else, stay tuned. This is part one. Okay, we're going to get into it. We're going to dissect it. We're going to get this right. We're going to be the generation that they write about. More to come. I guarantee you we're going to be the generation they write about. Over and out, everybody. Have a blessed week.
Oh.